So he's just been showing me that, just through, especially through one circumstance, somebody who I was not interested in hearing, and I ended up having to listen to him, and then I was totally blessed. It's like, hallelujah. So, it's funny. I can go through in my mind. I can think of a lot of people. I say, well, definitely don't listen to that guy. I think 90% of what he says is garbage. But you know, it's sad because there are many men who you're like, man, I know for a fact that you had to have known God because of things you say, or know God. Where did you know, why are you stuck on this little thing that's unnecessary? It also kind of it boils down to different, you know, it's like we have so many different denominations that fight over just ridiculous stuff. We have a Church of Christ right by us, and I still to this day think it's so funny. They're like, well, there were no instruments in the New Testament, so we don't have instruments in our church. And I'm like, where is that in the Bible? That is not in the Bible. God didn't say, don't use instruments in your church, and that's why I didn't put any in the New Testament. He had them all throughout the Old Testament. It's like, it's ridiculous. So I think small things are important. I'm going to kind of change gears a little bit. I watched a little video this morning, and I had a revelation that it's politically, but I hadn't thought about it before. They don't say the Pledge of Allegiance in school anymore. I thought, well, it's for two reasons. One, it says one nation under God. That's a pretty big one. But there's another one, and it says, let's see, I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic. It says republic. And that's huge because that means, you know, we're in charge. And if we're in charge, that means we get to worship God freely. They want a democracy because you notice that everybody says that. Like, oh, they're trying to destroy our democracy. And they say it over and over again. And people will correct them. They're like, no, we have a democracy. It's like, no. We have a republic so that we can be free. If we have a democracy, then that means the mob rules and California and New York tells everybody else in the United States what to do. So our founders who loved God and wanted freedom of religion designed our government so that even the smallest state, Rhode Island or, you know, whatever, or even wherever the Grand Canyon is. I can't think of that state. It's a beautiful state with a very small population. No. Sorry, not the Grand Canyon. I'm thinking of, anyways, doesn't matter. We all have a say. And that's what God's interested in, us all having a say. Each and every one of us is precious. As mankind, even, you know, there but by the grace of God go I, man is always trying to hold other men down. You know, God told us, hey, take care of the earth, rule over the animals. He never said rule over man, but man is always trying to rule over man because, I don't know if you ever noticed, it's a lot easier to make a man do something than it is a dog or a cat or a cow. You know, you can make a man do something, you know, if you have him enslaved. And I know it's God in me that doesn't understand that. I don't go, I would never want to force another man to do something because I love my own freedom so much that I want that person to have freedom. So, that's why I think words are so, that's why I think words are so important. And ideas are so important, and it's not, and you can't give in to little things and say, oh, well, you know, it's not really all that bad. I get into arguments, like we just had Halloween, and I get into arguments with people about Halloween. They're like, well, it's kind of an innocent holiday. And I'm like, My dad said one time, it's if you have a chocolate chip cookie, if you guys know where I'm going, you're going to laugh, you know where I'm going with this. If you have a chocolate chip cookie, and, you know, we're all thinking, and it falls on the floor, you know, we'd probably pick it up and eat it, but he didn't say it. If you had a chocolate chip cookie and it had a little poop on it, would you still eat it? It's like, you have to be mindful. Just the little things, just a little thing will pollute the whole thing. And if you start giving in to little things, then you'll start to give in to bigger things, and you'll start to give in to bigger things. The scripture I'm reading today isn't even going to talk about this, but I wanted to be talking about little idols we have in our lives that keep us from being 100% in communication with God. And, you know, most people think of the obvious ones, you know, drugs or, you know, whatever, you know. But they don't think of little ones like God's could be like your job or your spouse or your kids or how holy you are or, you know, and they're just random things, you know. I know there's a lot of believers who really put their stake into how good they are. It's like, wow, first of all, you're not. Second of all, that's not important. You know, God is good. The Bible says it. And I love it when people take scripture, they'll say, well, that can't be true. I'm like, well, it's in the Bible. God is good. No one's good but God. So does that mean you're good? No, you're not. I mean, if you have Jesus in you, he's good in you. You're still evil. That's why I could say, there but by the grace of God go I. I don't know how men can do evil because I have God in me, but I know for a fact that I can be totally evil and wicked and vile. But I have God in me, and so I'm not. Thank God that I'm not. That took a long time to realize that. You have to get past your own morality to realize you could be just as wicked as the next guy. Sometimes you'd think about it, you're like, that kind of be kind of fun. You know, I mean, I'd love to be able to just not have any sort of conscience and just do whatever the heck I want. But you know what? I mean, it would, you can't. You know, you'd have to really sear yourself to do that. I was thinking about, you know, the abortion thing. They always say, well, it's just a clump of cells. And that's just a justification so that they don't feel bad about what they're doing. And then somebody told that to somebody else, and a young kid, and they go, and so the young kid just brought up being taught, oh, it's just a clump of cells. Well, I think the funny thing is I heard a lady say one time, well, we're all just a bunch of clumps of cells. You know, I mean, if you really think about it. So it's like, so you have to be careful with your words. You have to be careful. I mean, the devil is sneaky. He uses very simple, innocent things to trick you into just letting down your guard. So you have to kind of search out your life and find those little innocent idols that you're like, ah, it's not a big deal. And you realize, oh, it is a big deal. It's keeping me from going all in for God, you know, because... And I think the more mature you become as a Christian, the more subtle they become, and you don't see them. And that's why it's good to be in fellowship with brothers who can call them out. Hey, did you notice that in your life? And you don't get mad. You go, you don't even have to receive it. You immediately just go, thank you for that. I'm going to go pray about it. Because sometimes people will give you a bad word. I've had people who prophesy over me, and I'd be like, that didn't seem right. And then you go pray about it, and you're like, yeah, that was definitely not God. I went to a meeting one time and they were like, we're gonna learn to prophesy over people. So you just stand in front of them and see what God tells you. And I was like, wow, that is awful. I was like, awful. You gotta spend time with the Lord so you hear God. You don't just, I mean, I'm not saying God can't do it. God can do it. God can be worshiped. You know, the stones will cry out if no one worships God. You know, a donkey can tell a man to stop. I'm not saying God can't do it. I'm just saying be in communion with God. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming. You don't have to go to the high priest to get your sins covered. You know, God was even when that was going on, God was always looking for men who would listen to him, who would commune with him, talk to him. And that's always the few people you see in the Bible. You know, I was in Matthew, and it was talking about, it might have been, I don't even know where I was at. But it was talking about all the people that, oh, I know. Okay, it was talking about Elijah, and God said, there's still 7,000 that love me. And it's like, sometimes we think we're the only ones. We're like, how are we the only ones that got it? It's like, we're not. And it's not because we're brilliant or we found some thing. It's because we commune with God and they commune with God. And so when you commune with God, he tells you things. He tells them things. That way we don't have to know each other. Let's see. I wrote something down the other day. What was it? So it had to do with when Jesus was saying, you know, who does the world say that I am? And then, you know, and then he asked Peter, well, who do you say that I am? And then Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. So I think the problem is when we have this fear of talking to people and go, well, how am I going to show them God? And you're like, no, you just need to open your mouth. God will show them God through you. It'll be God. God will reveal himself. Just be a vessel. And that's what's so incredible, because, I mean, that's fearful. You're like, well, man, I'm either make God look like an idiot or make myself look like an idiot. It's like, no. Just if God tells you to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. He's already, first of all, he's already prepared their heart. Remember, what does the scripture say? The harvest is ripe. Man, kids are lost these days. Adults are lost these days. It's harder with adults because they're already set in their ways. I was working up here the other day, and I heard the furnace door open. It's the little closet that's outside. And I heard it open. I opened the door, and there was two young girls standing there. I was like, are you guys okay? Can I help you? And it's so funny because, anyways, after I left, they ended up going back in there and smoking pot. So, and I I slammed the door, and they ran out. And I was like, okay. They had this terror on their eyes. You know, but it's funny because they're looking for something, and they think that's it. It's cool. You know, when you're in high school, you're always trying to figure out what's cool and what's going to be. And then you realize all the dumb things you did to try to be cool or whatever. And it was just a waste of time and money and energy and brain cells. And it's like you guys were so close. You just needed to come in the door. It's right here. Here's the church. And then, you know, they're ready. They need something. And they don't, oddly enough, you run into kids who don't have any clue of who God is. And that's hard for me because I grew up in the home of a pastor, and then I went to Christian school, and God is just normal to me. But kids don't have any idea who he is. So like that book that Dad wrote, God is a loving father, not an angry judge. Most kids think God is this jerk, because what do you hear? The Bible stories is, you know, this God who saved one people and killed all these other people, and even his own people, he got mad at him and he let him go into the wilderness, and you know, and he just was always persecuting him. And if you don't know how to read the story correctly, you think, yeah, that guy's a jerk. Why would I want to be with that guy? Because you don't see all the love. I mean, everything is love. I mean, chastisement. We chastise our kids because we love them. We want them to be safe. We want them to grow up happy and fulfilled. And if you, that's what I always think that's so funny. There's a minister, I don't know where he's at. And his father was incredible. And he is off the rails. And I'm not talking about the guy in Houston. And it's so funny to me. It's because, like, they'll say things like this. They'll go, well, we're just, he said, the homosexuals in my church are better believers than the non-homosexuals. And the thing is he'll say, you know, God loves them. You're like, I agree with you. God does love them. And I agree that someone who practices that could be a believer. I don't think they are very mature, but I think God said he'll take care of the sins in our life. So the problem is one, yes, he loves them, but two, you're not acknowledging that that's a sin. So love them. Love them. I love you. I love you even though you're sinning. I love you in your sin. But just declare to me that that's a sin. Go, hey, I have this problem. Good. God said he'd work on that. And that's the way with any sin. It's, you know, food or whatever. Overworking. You don't think that's going to be a sin. How could that be a sin? It is. My father-in-law said to me one time, he goes, I work too much. He goes, I mean, I provided very well for my family, but I regret all the time I didn't spend with my family because I worked so much. I think my wife would prefer I leaned a little more towards that way. I became self-employed so I could spend time with my family if I needed to. I do not make a very good living for my family. But I'm blessed. I pay my bills every month, and that's all that's important. as the bills are paid, my daughter and my wife can go to the doctor whenever they need to, you know, whatever. God provides all my needs. I don't need extra. I don't know, the Israelites didn't need extra when they were in the wilderness. Extra is just, it's just a burden. You notice people who are wealthy are always trying to get more wealthy so that they can keep the wealth they got. And it's just a cycle of trying to keep their wealth. You know, I just know that God's going to provide for my needs every day. I think that was funny that he did that. He's like, don't save the manna for tomorrow. Just take what you need today and I'll give you more tomorrow. And that destroys, that destroys something in you. First of all, you'd have to have faith that God's going to do it. And then, but then your flesh sees after time, he does it every day. And you'd go, start to trust him. It's funny, you see things in your life that break down fear or doubt. And then it's like once it happens, it's gone. And it's like the devil will say, well, what if something bad happens? Well, so be it. God said that if something bad happens, he'd turn it to good. He'd bless me with that. Whatever the bad would happen, he would bless me. I remember that one time my truck got broken into, and I still periodically worried about my truck getting broken into because I keep my tools in there. And, it would be a pain if it got broken into. But it got broken into, and I had to get new tools, but I got all new tools. And, you know, the insurance paid for a little bit of it, and I paid for a little bit of it. But I got extra tools because of deals that were going on. You know, so God bless me. And I hope that other guy was blessed, whoever stole all my tools. I hope he started a business. And now, that's not normal thought. Normal people don't think that kind of stuff. But Christians do. Christians do. Because the stuff is all God's anyways. It's not mine. He gave it to me to use while I'm here on earth. He gave it to me to bless people, to go into people's houses and do fun things for them so that they can enjoy their house. It's a weird way of thinking, but it's a correct way of thinking. It's funny because I've been working on this church, and I thought, well, what if the state comes and takes it, or what if it burns down, and I just did all that work for no reason? I thought, you know what? Praise God, I did it anyway. It was awesome. It wouldn't bother me. I'd be like, God will bless it somehow. So that's the way you need to attack the devil. You go, it doesn't matter what you throw at me. God's going to bless me through it. So you might as well just leave me alone. So it's good. That's why we got to be able to ask God, God, what are the strongholds in my life, and help me get rid of them so that I can be 100% in tune with you. And be at peace and be usable. If you're not afraid of anything, then you're usable. I mean, that's a good soldier. I mean, that's when they teach soldiers in the military, is they put them through so much. You know, they make them crawl under stuff and they shoot guns over their head and they teach them just to obey. And it's you know, you always see it in the movies. The soldier does something sneaky for the bad guy, you know, and just because they obey. That's what soldiers do. They just obey. The boss said it, so, you know, the general said it, the major said it, whatever, so we're doing it. Even if it, you know, and they're like, they're questioning it. This doesn't seem right. They don't think that. They don't think this doesn't seem right. They just say, we're doing what we're told. And that's the way we should be with God. We just do what we're told. God said, hey, I have this thing for you, and I've already put all the supplies together for you to do it. I've already opened all the doors and shut the ones that need to be shut. They're all ready. You just go, you know, do the plan. It's good. All right, Ephesians 3. We're going to actually go back to the last verse 20 of Ephesians 2. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. I was reading, Gabby was eating breakfast, and so I was reading Matthew to her this morning. I skipped all the begat parts because that's not interesting to kids. So I got to that's interesting to me. I like to see that. But so we started reading about And it's funny because, it's neat because Matthew would say, blah, 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 and this fulfilled the prophecy, blah, 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 and this fulfilled the prophecy, blah, 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 and you know it, and it shows you, and it says the prophecy was this, and the prophet said this, and this fulfilled it. And it's, you know, it's random stuff. It's like, why would that have happened? It's like because the prophet said it, and it happened just that way. And the only reason I think the Jews don't see that is because the Bible says that their eyes are blinded. It's like, how could you not see that? It's so awesome. This guy, I was listening to Ben Shapiro this week, and he was talking to a bunch of Palestinian sympathizers, and I was just listening to him go back and forth, and I'm like, you guys both don't have it. You guys both don't understand the reality of it. You guys are both, they're both victims, both of them. And I was just watching them like, you're a victim, and you're a victim. I understand bad things are happening, and it's awful. It's evil. But it's like, I just want to say, grow up. You know, is God your God or not? You know, it's like, anyway, hallelujah. In whom all the building was fitted together grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, Jesus is the cornerstone, and we're being built into this holy place. That's awesome. That's spiritual. That's not physical. That's spiritual. We make up the church. And that's awesome. And then some of us are here, and some of us are there, and some of us are across the world. But we're all of one body. That's why I don't like denominations, because we're not supposed to be denominations. We're not supposed to be divided. We're supposed to be in unity. So, for this reason, I'm going to read again. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building... So Jesus is in whom all the building is fitted together. You guys know what a cornerstone is, right? It's the block you start with on the building, and if it's not correct, the entire building will be wrong. I know this. I built a shed one time for my dad, and I bought 3 2x12s, and two of them were 2x12, and one was 2x12 and an inch, and the roof would not go on. Because that one was 1 inch different, and so none of the things would fit correctly. So that's what a cornerstone is. Everything is built on that cornerstone. And since we're built on the cornerstone, and if we're in line with Jesus, we're in line. I mean, it's perfect. We go, there's Jesus, we're in line with him. And that means we're right where we need to be. Into the holy temple in the Lord, in which also being built together in the dwelling place of God, in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you. I love that. I love he calls himself the prisoner of Christ Jesus. We are. I mean, it's like, that's who we should be. Remember Monty was saying, man, we're saved. It's like, who better to be a prisoner of than God? The guy that could, he has everything, can do anything, can give you anything, bless you however he wants to, and he's gonna. It's his desire. It's his desire to bless you unlimitedly. I don't even know if that's a real word, but I just made it up. Prisoner of Jesus Christ on behalf of you. So that's the way Joel was here on Monday night, last Monday. And he was talking and he said the church is going to be, this church, this building is going to be full again one day. Yes. And I'm like, and that's already, Susie's heard that, I've heard that, Jeff's heard that, and many other people have heard that. It's not important. It being full isn't important. What's important is that we're mature so that when it is full, we can, build those people up so that they're mature. And that's why you guys are here. I don't know if you know that. You're here because you're being discipled so that when the unlearned come in, we can teach them who God is, show them God's love. Amen. And it's going to be powerful. So, Paul said, I do this for you, That's us. I'm here for you. God's already, He's already filled me up. My cup overfloweth, even if it doesn't feel like it. He said it. If He said it, it's true. If the Bible says it, it's true. And don't look at your own circumstances, because your circumstances will lie. The nations, if indeed you heard of the stewardship of the grace of God given to me for you. So, God's given it to us to share. Remember, I just said our cup overfloweth. I have so much grace from God. God gives me grace. Oh, I love the fact that God gives me grace. That's good. That way, when you do something stupid, you don't have to be... It was funny. There was a guy... I watched those little... Anyway. He was talking about... He's like, well, if you're in sin, you shouldn't teach. And I understand what he was saying. He's saying, like, if you're constantly in sin, you shouldn't teach. But what he was saying is, like, if you got a little bit of sin in your life, you shouldn't teach. Well, that's ridiculous. If that were the case, nobody would ever teach. That's like, that was that revelation that just because a man of God has a false thought doesn't mean I should reject everything else he has to say. I think Andrew Womack up in Colorado, I think that man understands who God is. I think he's just bad about sharing it. I think he's got some, he likes to skip the hard part. He goes, you get saved and then you got the power. The power is the fun part. He skips the, oh, by the way, you got to go through all this tribulation. Because if you want to have power, you need to, you got to go through tribulation to understand authority. God's given you authority. Greater things than these are you going to do. He's given us authority, but if you're not mature because you haven't gone through any tribulation, you'll misuse it. You'll do garbage with it. You know, you won't understand it. So that's why you have to go through tribulation so that you can be mature, so that when you're ready to be a leader that you've been designed to be, God has designed you to be leaders, you're ready. And you and so when something comes up, you go, for that person, you go, oh, I already went through that. Here's what we're going to do. First of all, it's just trust in God. Trust God. That by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by the reading of which you are able to realize my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of man in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and the prophets in the Spirit. So it's awesome. It is, and you see it. You see it through all the Old Testament. It's just God revealed himself to certain people. People who are seeking him. Yes. Even Moses wasn't even seeking him. Moses was walking around the wilderness. God's like, hey, there's Moses. Let's go talk to him. And you know what's funny is Moses was like, I'm not eloquent. And God's like, that's okay. You don't need to be eloquent. I'll be eloquent through you. You just open your mouth and I'll say what needs to be said. I love how God just uses normal people. David, who's a shepherd, that's like the worst job. Be like a garbage man today. The shepherd was the worst job back then. He used David. You know, he always uses the second guy or the adopted guy or the, you know, that gives us hope. Because it wasn't the guy that deserved it. Yeah, he doesn't deserve it anyways. The guy that thinks he deserves it, or the guy that we look at and go, that guy deserves it. That guy's got it all together. Where am I at? Of which I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me, according to the workings of his power. So it's good. Grace and power. Man, you have to... I was talking with Cooper a few weeks ago, and there was another guy that my dad would hang out with, and he'd have a problem with my dad because my dad would seem to say, well, you can just go sin. But he was saying, what he's saying is, you're going to sin. You just have to acknowledge that. and then that God's working on that. And that's hard for some people because we're like, no, you have to be good. You got to be holy. You're like, yeah, but you can't be. Yeah, you have to be holy. No, you cannot be holy. Only Christ in you can be holy. So what actually the thing is you don't need to be holy, you need to be dead. Once you are dead, then Christ in you can be holy because you're not trying to help. And so that guy would always wrestle with my dad with that because he'd go, well, no, they need to be good. If you just tell them they're going to sin, they're just going to go be licentious. Yeah, but, you know, when you get in a relationship with God, you have to learn to rest. When you learn to rest, the other will follow. The power and the holiness and the righteousness, that's just a byproduct of you resting in God. It's not our goal. Our goal isn't to be holy and righteous. Our goal is to rest in God, and that is a byproduct. That the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct of us resting in God. It will happen. If you learn to rest, you will do. And it's not because of anything other than your understanding who you are and who God is and who God says you are. It's so important to understand who God says, because we're evil and we're righteous at the same time, and that doesn't make any sense. You're like, how can I be evil and righteous? Because you have your flesh and you have your spirit. It's like, and they're always warring. And you're going to have that flesh till the day you die. And he's going to try to peep. But that's why you spend time with God. Because when you have more truth in your head, you go, ah, flesh, that's not going to bring me joy. That's not going to bring me happiness. That fear is just holding me back. You know, you just learn to tell your flesh to shut up. I love it when the devil, devil ever put a thought in your head and you're like, and you just tell him to shut up. Shut up, devil. You guys ever do that? And then he goes away. You see something, you're like, oh, that was a wicked thought. And you just tell him, just shut up. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You need to rebuke the devil like that. The Bible says when we see him, we're going to be like, really? That's what was causing us so much trouble? And we're going to feel foolish for falling for his silly tricks. All right, where am I at? In him who we have boldness and access in confidence through his faith. Because of this, I beg you not to faint at my troubles on your behalf, which is your glory. So, Paul was saying, don't worry about the things that are going on to me. You know, when you see something bad happen to me, don't worry about it. I'll go through it. I'll go through it for you. God has already filled me. No matter what garbage happens to me, I'm going to rejoice because God's going to glorify himself through it. He's going to bless me through it. He's going to bless you through it. It's good that I go through adversity. If I go through adversity, I can bless you. So don't bemoan the fact that I'm going through adversity. Go, thank you, Jesus, that he's going through adversity. Now he's going to be more dead, and I'll be blessed through that. Hallelujah. That's a weird thing to say, but it's accurate. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Woohoo! That he may give you according to the riches of his glory, not your works, the riches of his glory, by his power to become mighty in the inward man through his Spirit. Are you guys ready to be mighty? It's good. Greater things are you going to do. That through the faith, Christ may dwell in your hearts, having been rooted in the foundation of love. So rooted, you know, you guys understand, that's what plants. You ever try to dig up a tree? You can't. I remember Dave Cooper had a back porch built. And he asked me to dig out the stump. I rented the biggest tractor I could rent. And it didn't do anything. Oh, I had to call in another guy. I said, hey, can you grind this thing out? I tried to pull it out with a tractor. And the tractor said, nope. And that's how our faith is going to be rooted. The devil can't pull it out. It's in there. And it's rooted in love. I mean, when you know you're loved by God, no matter what, it can't. When you see the love of God, it cannot be taken away from you. Even when things are falling apart, it cannot be taken away from you. You know, God loves me. God's going to bless me no matter what. And that's why people who have gone through it, it's good for people who are going through it, because they don't know that. They can't see it. They're like, God, the world's falling apart. And you go, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's going to bless you through this. And they're like, how do you know? And you're like, because this happened to me. Here's my experience. And you guys share that. That's why God gives you experiences. You share them with other people and say, don't worry about it. That your love may be given in strength to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasseth knowledge. It's good. Yeah, I mean, because love doesn't make any sense. As parents, we love our kids. Even when, it's funny when your kid does something bad and you laugh because it's bad and you know you need to discipline them. But it was so funny. Why? Because you love your kids. When we do bad, God laughs. First of all, he's already going to work on it. Second of all, it's like, he loves us. Oh, silly. That was silly. Yeah, I know, God. That was silly. He goes, but I still love you. And that's good. I always tell Gabby that. Hey, even when you do wrong, that doesn't mean I don't love you. I still love you even when you do wrong. I may be upset with you, but I love you. You may need a spanking, but I still love you. And she does, she knows that. I mean, that's what we spank her, and we immediately give her a hug. That's the way it is. God does it. If God chastises us, he immediately gives us a hug. Doesn't just let it wallow around in that. Now you go feel bad about what you did. No, you just, God already took care of it. Feeling bad about something is dumb. Did God already cover your sins? Are your sins already covered? There's a difference between guilt and repentance. Repentance means, oh, I see I did wrong there, and I know that you covered it. Guilt means, hey, I'm gonna cover this myself by feeling bad about it. Guilt is just a sin. Don't feel guilt. Feel repentance. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him being able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. I thought about that the other day. It's like, we don't even have a clue. We can't even. God has everything and does everything, can do anything, and we're asking, can I have a little crumb? He's like, I want to throw a banquet for you, and you're just asking for a crumb. He's like, golly, you guys need to think bigger. He's telling us, think bigger. Now to him being able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power working in us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all the generations of the age forever. It's like, man, Monty was saying that, you know, we need to be worshiping excitedly. Well, I'm saying we need to ask God, just beg God, God, get rid of anything in my life that's keeping me from being totally with you. I want to be excited to be with you. I've been doing it. I've been doing exactly what he said. I've been speaking in tongues every day. Thank you, Monty, for that. Thank you for admonishing us to do that. That's good. And it doesn't have to be the perfect time. You don't have to do it. Just if you forget, just do it as soon as you remember. It doesn't even have to be. I was praying for somebody the other day, and my language changed. You guys, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that. I was praying for something specific. And my prayer language is the same every time. And I pray for somebody, and it was different. I thought, well, God, you had a specific prayer that time. That's awesome. God knows more than one language. So, we just need to pray that God gets rid of the small idols in our life that seem insignificant, because they are very significant. Because they keep us from the complete relationship with God. Not because God's holding himself back, but because we're holding on to that. You know, you can't have two masters. We need one master. You know, you're going to love one and hate the other. You know, it's... Hallelujah. God is good. I don't know if you guys can feel it. I mean, things are moving. It's good. I wish we could see what happens in third world countries where they don't have all the, because it's just, I mean, they have nothing. And when they get God, it's just everything, because they already don't have anything. We have so much to distract us. I could spend time with God, or I could go watch a movie. Oh, man. It's good. It's good. Hallelujah. I guess I'll end on that note. It's good. Remember, you don't have to do it. God's going to take care of all the idols in your life. He's going to show them to you and then gently remove them. God is gentle. He's gentle. And it's powerful to see it. You're like, oh, man, thank you, God, for taking care of that. Thank you for showing me, and thank you for taking care of it, because I couldn't do it. I wanted it. Paul said, Why do I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do? That's so real. I mean, it's okay, because God said, I'll take care of it. I made you, I died for you, and I'm going to perfect you, and you're going to be my bride one day. It's good. We're going to rule and reign in heaven with God for eternity. And I try not to think about that, because I think, what can you do for eternity? We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. It says right here, we don't even know what to ask or think. We don't have it. Our minds can't comprehend. So, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for every word that proceeds out of your mouth, that keeps us, that created this world, that created every part of this world, that put it all together, including us. You breathed your life into us. We are unique. We are precious. Let everyone on their way today have edifying conversation and be blessed today, and have an amazing week, and to see you all week in everything that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wahoo! Yes, Monty, can you...